And now, Seekers, the Hurricane Spectacular continues. Chapter 11, The Lord of the Lies.
The program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Hey, what the hell, like I care?
Hey, Seekers, I'm the beastess with the leastest, evil Susie, here to welcome you to Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, and I'm sure tonight is gonna be nothing but skits and giggles as soon as the flues gets off her ass and gets to the studio here. Any second now, and, I'm dying in here.
Oh, hey, well, Susie.
Oh, not too soon, too. I'm about to electrocute myself in a pool of freaking flop sweat.
Thanks so much for covering for me.
Here, this is your turn.
Oh, you'll be glad to know that I have my Hurricane Spectacular number 11 all ready to go. The big Bush Brothers Deathmatch wrap-up.
What do you mean, wrap-up? If I remember, in your last final installment, Jeb battles George to the death, cuts his head off, filleted him.
The word is filleted.
I like my version better.
Filleted
him and invited everyone to a feast. There's nothing left to wrap up with the leftovers. I still had a few loose ends laying around, and I just felt I ought to neaten things up a bit.
When it comes to neatening crap up, include me out. Besides, I know you've been working on this sound bomb since last freaking January, so maybe I don't want to be around when it stinks up the airway.
Oh, ye of little fish!
Yeah, tell it to the Subgenius Marines, honey. I'll be sleeping with him tonight. Au revoir to it.
Suit yourself.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Seekers, here we go. When we last left our story dangling, those annoying Bush brothers had fought to the death. But I'm afraid there's even more to the story.
Oh, no!
By now, my friends, you must be wondering, what the f***?
No way!
You say you don't quite understand?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, let me give you some gist.
A deserted city.
As hundreds of circling blackbirds screamed at the carnage below.
There once was a human being, and he was very small. Little man.
George W. Bush.
Who?
You've heard of him.
He's an interesting guy.
George W.?
He's a lot of fun to be around.
My brother.
Brother, There is need for me to destroy you.
Do what?
Because you're precisely the kind of asshole I like to go hunting for.
Yeah.
You know, George, your f***ing head's gonna look just great stuffed and mounted on my wall.
But little man answered, it's a good day to die.
In other words,
bring it on! No!
Finally, they cut off his head.
And that's what really happened.
Game over.
Sounds pretty final, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. God forgive me.
George Bush was dead, and his own brother, Jeb, had brought forth Pig's head on a stick.
Run on!
There was some rejoicing.
But mostly, everyone wished to return home quickly to tell their loved ones that the war was won. Hitler was dead again, and that they could live once more in peace in a land they love so much. God give them. Amen.
Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C.
It's done! The assassination of my brother.
What?
The president is dead. You got that?
Love it. Love everything about it.
Sweet. How do we know that?
Somebody's had it for dinner.
Jib was laughing with triumph.
Oh, I bet you know some fairy tales then. Hey, tell him the one about the worthless prick that gets his head chopped off with an axe.
Suggested.
George's father felt sick.
I don't think I feel so good about this all of a sudden.
And we took his head. We played a little.
Okay, that's definitely more information than I really care to have at this point. Thanks.
Ain't that ironic?
Oh, so you carved it up.
The buzz from other bushes was one of admiration at this handsome behavior. Clearly, they were of the opinion that Jeb had done the decent thing.
I gotta tell you.
Jeb Bush grinned suddenly.
I always thought it'd be rectal trauma.
I have to think 5, 6, 7 times about that very, very hard.
And they had to laugh again. Everything was all right. Everything was good-humored and friendly.
Now that the main competition had been eliminated, life was good. Meanwhile, in Time Standstill Land.
That's where we left off!
He was awake before his eyes were open, listening to a noise that was near. He had just time to realize that the age-long nightmares of death were past and that the morning was come when he heard the sound again.
Gosh, I sure hope it's not the administration.
The threat brutally jarred George wide awake.
At last he woke and saw dimly the dark flies close by his cheek.
But he didn't dare slap at them. He was afraid to move his head.
Oh, wait!
He looked away, licking his dry lips. He could see the sun-splashed ground over an area of perhaps 50 yards from where he lay. He saw something red and pink and brown that lay on the guano-strewn beach. But the filmy enchantments of mirage flittered there in front of his blue eyes, like a bat's wing, obscuring his mind.
God almighty, his head hurt, his neck on fire.
He opened an eye. The light was unearthly.
A light that reaches the darkest corners of my failed resolve.
The president's eyes watered at the sudden brightness.
And as he watched, the sunlight in every patch blinked at him. This was so like the curtain that slept in his brain.
So much.
That for a moment he thought the blinking was inside him.
The pink-orange parfait of dawn failed to elevate George's spirits.
I'm thrilled.
He was sticky, scratched, hot, parched, filthy, as wretched as he'd ever been.
George's throat was filled with something that choked him.
George found that he had bark in his mouth.
How about getting this debris removed?
He passed his tongue tentatively over his teeth and lips.
What?
And felt the pointed end of a stick thrust through the back of his throat.
Do what? Pole?
George's head hung immovable on the top of a stick. The blood was dry around his mouth and chin.
He swallowed.
Flabbergasted to find himself in the middle of something so ugly, officially jarred George wide awake.
Then the red and pink and brown thing was...
My what?
His headless body.
Jesus hell. The sight unnerved the bogus president to the point of whimpering.
Spots jumped before his eyes and turned into red circles that expanded quickly till they passed out of sight.
He tried to hold still without whimpering. Tried to turn ever so slightly.
Let's see here.
The undertaking caused less agony than he'd anticipated. Perhaps the evil god Chango had anesthetized him as well.
Prayer and religion sustain me.
He peered about him.
What's important is to accept two states of living side by side.
His ragged body, crusted with ocean salt, was all gross and crooked.
And I think it's important to see our body language as well.
His lifeless body was arched, the muscles of his bloody neck thumped stiff.
But it's very important to be flexibilistic.
And his gaze was held by that ancient, inescapable recognition. His fly was open. Bush screamed. A scream of fright and anger and desperation. Screaming, snarling, bloody. Feeling not pain, but panic. A sick fear and rage swept him.
I can't help it.
And told himself to be calm.
Yeah. Hey, cool.
George was rattled.
This is a total violation.
George was acutely worried.
George was nothing but a head on a stick.
Maybe I ought to quit this whole president thing.
George was staring down at the body in tears, completely unable to speak. He dry heaved a couple more times, then he looked up. His face was contorted.
One side of his mouth wormed into a creepy, lopsided frown.
They're eating me alive!
Cold black mosquitoes swarmed his pale, plump toes. Mother of Christ. The prospect of an anonymous death in the swamps offended George's dignity. He didn't want his sun-bleached bones to be found by hunters, fishermen, or bird watchers, pieced together by wisecracking medical students and coroners, identified by x-rays from his childhood orthodontist.
Ignoring the flies, his spilled guts, even ignoring the indignity of being spiked on a stick. George giggled and shuddered.
Whew! I feel lightheaded.
It was a joke, really. A little headache, that's all.
He wanted to cry, pull out his hair, and scream, but that was impossible. Most of all, he wanted to escape, but George was trapped on all sides by humming, crackling wilderness. It might as well have been a 12-foot wall of barbed wire.
Well, I can't think of nothing else to do.
George concluded it was a nightmare.
This is a nightmare scenario.
And shut his eyes.
Ooh.
As George thought this, he turned to the poor broken thing that sat stinking by his side. The poor body that should be rotting away.
Despite the number of setbacks, I am optimistic. And that optimism is justified.
Slowly, George turned his head to examine the nasty gummy stump of his neck. A glistening pink fistulous cave stretched in the shape of a permanent scream. The sight of the shrunken socket was more sickening than that of the president's scabby, papery gray lips. George's dead body was obese, with narrow shoulders, bony chest, and with a roll of baby fat at the midsection. And his bare chest was striped with thin pink abrasions. George bit his lower lip to stifle a cry.
The pile of guts was a black blob of flies that buzzed like a saw. Gorged, they alighted by his runnels of sweat and drank, and played leapfrog on his thighs. They were the colors of corruption, black and iridescent green and without number. The obscene thing on the stick wobbled. George kept a wary eye on his body. His eyes were half closed, watching the flies that hovered in a humming circle like bright little birds on his body, but otherwise the thing was lifeless. Or was it?
Imagine...
In George's right temple, a pulse began to beat on the brain. The body might at first seem to be nothing but a dead body, which of course you can say it is, but something strange was happening. Desperate. He obeyed an instinct that he did not know he possessed.
Let's give this a try.
He gave it a shot.
George felt his lips twitch, his eyelids fluttering. He could hear a tiny chattering noise coming from somewhere. Perhaps from his own mouth. He bound himself together with his will, fused his fear and loathing into a hatred.
And his head, which was stuck on a spear, started to shout the war cry.
And over the legions her ancient foe defy, over the hilltop a war song is ringing.
Woo-hoo! Little prickles of sensation ran up and down his back. Just right of center, his heartbeats were visible.
Everybody start your engines! Ah-ooga!
Something strange was happening to George's dead body, for it was gasping for breath.
Wow! Now that is awesome!
He whinnied.
Nostrils quivering, he quickened his heartbeat and watched his own pulse. He mastered his breathing for a moment.
Work it, baby! Work it!
And caught sight of the rise and fall of his diaphragm and was surprised to see how quickly he was breathing.
Oh-ho!
Fall and rise and fall. His face empty of expression, he mouthed words that did not reach the air.
He panted from exertion. Hot, necrotic gusts.
Living death is better.
Breathing was a little easier.
I was really starting to doubt myself.
By the time his breathing was normal again, his arms and legs twitched a bit.
Slowly, his fingers wiggled feebly at George's silent bidding.
The body lifted a fraction of an inch from the sand. And it rolled on his butt and fell in the water.
God damn it.
Backsliding.
The tortoise lays on its back, its belly baking in the hot sun, beating its legs, trying to turn itself over, but it can't.
George's dead body lifted. Bulging slightly on one side, George's dead body edged forward, feeling his way over the uneven surface as though he were blind.
It's an old trick.
There was a kind of heavy feeling in his body.
We force our body to put an end to your dreams.
Then his body turned over, drew his feet under him, and laid hold of the creepers to pull himself up.
Steady.
When the creepers shook, the flies exploded from the guts with a vicious note and clamped back on again.
Oh, boy, you're a bloody mess.
Stronger now, George, his body, got to his feet.
The body of little man kept fighting without his head.
And with a painful rush, stood up.
Hey, look at me!
And his legs gave beneath him.
Fell down.
Bang!
George glowered.
Over my dead body.
George was getting dizzy and mad.
You ain't pulling that crap on me again.
George's body moved forward on hands and knees, then lifted up, and at last stood up holding out his hand.
He rose to his feet.
His body stood now, walked out of the perpendicular, and he found his legs were weak.
George tested his legs. Tenuously, he took one step.
George's filthy body took two leaden steps forward.
Right. Right. And then another. Right.
Right.
His feet left prints in the soft soil.
He clenched his hands, flexed his arms. So far, so good.
Even with great care, the best he could do was a stagger.
His body began to jerk like an enormous broken puppet.
He pushed his body forward, staggering sometimes with his weariness, but never stopping.
Woohoo! Can't catch this doggy!
He paused to catch his breath.
Breath came even by now.
The pain was hideous. He spit blood.
His tongue gave him pain all the time.
Ow!
George's body turned away.
Wait a minute. Turn me right around.
Just as the body managed to slip an audible blast of post-mortem flatulence, the detonation spun his head around on the stick.
My ass.
He tried to hold his breath, but the aroma was unavoidable.
I gotta poop.
Panting, George's body stood by his head. There was a moment's struggle and George's head wobbled, slid sideways on his stick, fell down, and bumped onto the sand. I got a pain in my head. George Bush was muttering and about to cry. George's body began to run about, kicking with his feet.
Let's be friends. Let's connect.
Another kick caught George a stinger across the ear.
Hey, you'll still be 50-50 with you and me.
And then another kick to the side of the head. The big dork tried swinging again and again until the f***er quit rolling and just lay there making a faint hiss.
George looked at his body dumbly.
We're flying blind out here.
He was grateful he couldn't see himself. He must have looked like a f***ing circus freak. His dead body stepped forward and kicked out madly into the ground teeth of the president, pinning his bloodless tongue to his deviated jawbones.
He glared malevolently at his clumsy body.
Kick me again, and I'll have your balls in a blender.
Immediately after this, there came a gasp and a squeal of pain.
The sound of the blow was sickening. Damp and tangled hair had fallen to cover the bruised half of his face.
George's body bent down. At last he found his face and his fingers gripped into it. Unwillingly, George flinched.
Hey, hey, hey.
His fingers tickled under his nostrils.
Damn it! Oh, they get a tickle!
His body put his fingers in his mouth and George bit them. Then the monstrous red thing, the neck, shrieked.
Yes! Hole in one!
George's body jerked his head off the ground. His body wrenched the quivering stick from the crack, cleared his throat, and held up his head with two hands.
The note Ted left behind, eh?
His body shook his head like a huge coconut, and a bubble of air escaped from the mouth with a wet plop. The idiot George's dumb body felt his face.
Hey, check it out!
Touch it.
Look, my finger's not sweet!
His body held the obscene thing carefully and pushed back his tangled hair and wiped the sweat out of his best eye.
You're terrific.
George's head spoke aloud.
Thank you, darling. Now I've got my beautiful, perfect body again.
And there was the fathom-wide grin of George's head jeering up into a blanket of deep blue sky.
Boy, that feels good!
He had worked out that bathing these injuries would have to wait.
No pool! Nope!
How could you listen for naked feet if you were splashing in water?
George spit congealed blood and congratulated himself for so cleverly converting a handicap to a martial asset.
George's body cried out unintelligibly. and lug George's head towards the trees.
In the name of people and freedom and democracy, stuff like that, I hereby kidnap myself. I got a score to settle on this planet.
Then his body, holding his head, still grinning at the sky, turned away and went where the just perceptible path led him.
The path to victory that lies ahead.
A stain in the darkness, a stain that was George Bush, detached itself and began to draw away. The stain vanished. Stain took its place. Yes. Jeb, Bush.
Your long search for the terrorist mastermind who's responsible for tormenting our great nation is history.
Better make it quick, sir. You've got to prepare for your early press conference tomorrow.
And all that horse pucky.
Mr. President, once again, we really wish you wouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah, right, bro.
I don't see his problem. He kept trying to run from it. But it ended up catching him in the end. Thing is, Slack's always bound to run out.
Blacker?
Blacker.
Oh, shut up.
It was a real kick-ass group of folks.
And the darkness and desperate enterprise gave the night a kind of dentist's chair unreality.
That can be arranged.
Well, let's avoid a possible embarrassment, shall we, Carl?
Said Jib indignantly.
At his side was a tall Ku Klux Klansman with an axe handle, peeping through the slits of his sheet.
Dude, poppycock.
K.R. looked up, the artery in his neck throbbing, an impulsive expression of annoyance flashing across his goggle-eyed face.
Shall we greet the nation, Mr. President-elect?
Jib glanced round quickly.
I killed the witch. I killed the witch.
That's right.
And do you want to know how I killed the witch?
Then Jib leaned close.
Well,
I had him by the hair.
Yeah, chokehold, you miserable bastard thief! And the president's junk just falls off.
I killed the witch! I just told that witch he couldn't sell me a bill of goods anymore.
Well observed.
The son of a bitch went down screaming, all the way to FUBAR.
That was a good game.
Grand Kleagle said with a dark chuckle.
I had a pretty good idea what he'd been planning.
Now for the mountain. And everybody laughed.
Grand Kleagle had a mean streak. Dirty as they come. Jay knew him quite well.
I don't know what the f*** you and the boys back in Washington planned.
Start doing the master's bidding. You're already filthy with wrath and sin.
Our rope war is hell.
Shut the hell up!
I don't know, Carl. That's just awful.
Shut up!
All that was visible with a pointy little hood were his beady, poisonous eyes.
This is getting stupid. Where the hell is your father?
Carl, no, look.
The elder President George said, shrugging.
Look, I'm not really your father, okay?
What?
The old man looked over his shoulder at Jay.
And I wouldn't bother going down in there unless your taste has changed radically. They left an ugly mess.
Oh, man. Big.
The javelin competitor who elected to receive.
What up, man?
Grab me a towel, will you, Carl?
Hey, get your brother's hat and follow me here.
Give it a rest.
Where is he?
There.
Huh?
Where?
But something wasn't right.
Wait a minute.
Where's the president?
Bush is gone.
What?
Implicitous little turd.
His brother, George, appeared to be missing.
Where the hell was Nasty anyway?
The head and body of Piggy was gone.
Jay shook his head helplessly.
Oh, yes, massive rope.
KR tossed me to Bird and yanked the mask off long enough to tell me that I was going to look like a f***ing bleeding mummy when they finished with me.
Suddenly, Jib, in panic, began rumbling wildly.
Rope, hasn't it occurred to you how convenient this whole operation has been?
Jay looked over his shoulder at the old man.
I told him, away from me, loser.
Jib sighed, sensing the rising antagonism. The immediacy of the kill subsided.
What's this, how it starts? A trip to the Laughing Academy?
No, the absurd situation was open. Jib began to mutter vaguely.
Now, you silly bastard, it starts with you asking yourself idiot questions.
He wiped his face with a dirty arm and made an effort to retrieve his status.
I've got to change my shorts now.
Why that happens, who knows? And right now, who the f*** cares?
Right.
All that mattered was that it had happened.
Jib cleared his throat.
I don't know, Carl. That's embarrassing.
No, sir, not embarrassing. Because no one's ever going to find out he's down here.
No, look, Carl.
You're going to spot him and you're going to air him out.
I don't work here anymore.
Jib, this is a bad...
I don't know, Carl. That's tricky stuff.
Jib, I need the old magic.
Oh.
You're not cop, you're little people.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you mean Cerberus?
You know the score, pal.
Jib licked his lips and turned his head at an angle so that his gaze avoided the embarrassment of linking with another's eye.
No choice, huh?
No choice, pal.
Jib cleared his throat and spoke in a queer, tight voice.
All right, look, everyone, he hasn't been gone that long.
Look, I know we have a deal.
And you could say that the story is now working on two levels. In other words, the Bush boys are making a mess of life, and the grown-ups who are making a mess of their world can't really much help them. The pale and fat clown's man stood up, twitching cheeks into place, and stabbed his index finger at George's brother. Who thinks Jeb Bush ought to be chief? The silence continued, breathless and heavy and full of shame.
Jeff.
The dirty look KR gave me was unbelievable.
Now, Jay, you getting out of hand, son.
I don't like this boy's attitude.
Yeah, we got to teach him some respect.
But I didn't care. I knew what I was doing.
The frustrated MacBush turns his hostility on his family.
I begin to be aweary of the sun, and wish the estate of the world were now undone.
Jeff's humiliating tears were running.
Let's get cleaned up. Find a drink before the bars close.
Stop right where you are.
Jeb turned and ran.
And he ran away.
Blow, wind!
Though MacBush was once noble, grand, and heroic, he is now on the brink of disaster.
Jib leaned against a tree, and at once the daydreams came swarming up.
Then,
no, no.
A disembodied head appears covered with blood.
The head appeared to him.
Now we sense in MacBush a degree of familiarity, even kinship, with the bloodied, decapitated head of his nemesis.
The vulture, the lizard, and now my most fearsome enemy, the only living creature that knows my secret identity?
No one cares!
Said the head silently.
No one cares if you live or die.
No!
You're a loser!
No!
You were born a loser!
It isn't true! That voice! No! It isn't true!
You're
good! You have to go! No! Stop! I can't stand it! Must I have voice! I'm coming! I'm coming! Don't go away! Don't leave me! Don't go away! I'm coming! I'm coming! Stop laughing! Don't go away! I'm coming! No! No! No!
Piggy was everywhere. Was on this neck.
All of them down.
Was become terrible in darkness and death. If Piggy were to come back now out of the water with his empty head...
Where's the communication?
Vividly, George came before him. He could have reached up and touched
the sorry son of a bitch.
Somberly, he clenched his fist and beat hammer-wise on the bloody red sand.
Damn it!
His lips were tightly compressed.
Miserable bastard.
Almost got me tonight, you know that?
He sucked his bruised fist.
Yeah?
Yet our work is not done.
Why the hell can't you leave me alone?
Jib whimpered like a little one. The stick in his hand became a crutch on which he reeled.
These are your friends who coated you on. That was your man, but since it's gone, I suppose it will ride when they told me to speak. There's no room for the weak, no room for the weak, yeah. Where will it end?
Controversial vote for stupid campaign.
Before taking the knife, disemboweling them.
Wait just a second there. Disemboweling?
Yes, Chet. Disemboweling them in some kind of unusual rite.
Virtually considered to be the dimmick.
Severed head was still talking when it was discovered.
You did say impaled.
Yes! That's what it says.
Ah, I just love it.
The police so far have only one clue to the identity of Mr. Suck's murderer.
It's ACL Lou!
What do we do, kids?
You first! Ask questions later!
Savaging himself as the daydream moved on, Chip blundered on, laughing excitedly.
Suddenly, it appears that in the supernatural and moral conflicts, that
Bush
has been won over by the forces of evil. He is indeed something wicked.
And slowly, surreptitiously, furtively, I turned the corner, moving out of sight.
Jib ran round the rock where Piggy had fallen.
Fiery the angels fell. Deep thunder rolled around their shores, burning with the fires of Orc.
Well observed.
Rodin said solemnly. I told him so, and he tossed me a huge reefer. It was hemp, fortunately. Joint by joint. I started to bring him up to date on my condition. It happened.
Oh, how awful.
And I put my career on the line to stop it.
In such poor taste.
I was still wanted for murder.
A bad, bad dream.
And a dead president, boy wonder, was at it again.
Horrible.
Was he a part of the f***ing problem or a part of the damn solution?
This is making me so depressed.
Oh, God, that feels good. Rodin pointed at the ground.
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes.
He stage whispered. Rodin was right.
I sense something. A presence I've not felt since.
A bearded man appeared with a wet slap on the rail and pulled himself up from a piling beneath the bridge.
George fell sideways onto his rump.
It was a sickening, dull thud.
And a familiar face loomed up before him.
Oh, there's already a guy in here.
Hey, boys.
Jib's idiot brother, George, lay grinning and panting like the dog, looking at Jib in wary astonishment. The usual brightness was gone from his eyes.
You see...
Rodin put the thumb in his direction.
Dead man walking on a green mile.
Yeah, all the usual suspects.
Jay glanced worriedly at his dead dipshit brother, G.
Huh? How the f***? Talk about total surprise.
They peered awe-stricken, plastered on weed like pigs.
What?
Jib spoke unbelieving.
You're alive!
He announced with a mix of alarm and regret.
Am I what?
Said George, still caressing his rump.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over the situation. Here was a coyote-faced, knock-kneed, jug-eared redneck who was pure stone dead. I guillotined his neck just above the Adam's apple. And more to the point, I killed him without leaving any trace.
I don't believe my eyes.
Here I am.
Could be an illusion.
Negative, Captain.
Our success in this war is often measured by the things that did not happen.
I looked at him quizzically. Yeah?
George worked his jaw like a steam shovel.
And suddenly things turned ugly.
Rodent growled.
Gosh, okay.
Like a f***ing moray eel coming out of its hole.
And then there was a reaction about...
Is it these days, I asked? I've been playing with myself. What about you? He chortled. I hate him when he chortles. A long rivulet of blood ran down behind his right ear.
Just a little scratch.
He looked wretched.
His neck was striped with congealed blood.
Oh.
Jay bit his lower lip to stifle a cry.
But he was my brother.
Unwillingly, Jib turned away from the awful sight.
Not an easy man to see.
You're not going
to
be glad to see me at all.
The two bush boys faced each other on the bright beach, astonished at the rub of feeling. There was the brilliant world of Jib, of tactics, fierce exhilaration and skill.
I think brother has your ass.
Do I?
And there was the world of George, of agonized and shameful longing and baffled, twisted anger. Brother George snarled at him.
Yeah, look what the rat puked up.
Come on, sweetheart, join the party.
Jay muttered to
G.
George configured his crooked jaws into the semblance of a grin.
The batty, bolting look came into his blue eyes.
Looking good, baby.
George said through clenched teeth.
Thank you.
Jay gazed expectantly at G.
You're looking good.
No, really.
And,
I'm sorry.
You what?
Immediately, Jay felt the whole day go sour.
I'm sorry! I swear to God! I don't know how it happened! It's all a big mistake! You gotta believe me! I'm sorry!
But...
I'm so sorry!
Don't be so hard on yourself!
George said nothing, but the look on his face and the throbbing of his neck told me all I needed to know.
What a goofball!
He had absolutely no idea what had just happened. That I killed him
like a sucking coward he was.
My what?
Jeb looked warily at his brother. His mind cleared quickly. How much did his brother know?
I have to know what you...
We don't talk about sources and methods.
What the hell do you do at times like this? The answer, so far as I'm concerned, is simple.
Your choice.
George got very nervous.
He paused.
Poor man was brought back here soggy with sleep and bombarded with accusing questions.
Well... That was just fine with me.
You got a question, sir?
Said the president guardedly.
What might it be?
It's a test designed to provoke an emotional response.
Gosh, okay.
Great. Now what?
I'll repeat the question. If I don't like it, I'll make it up.
Jib watched him in disgust.
Ever seen a leech before?
He just blinked and looked stupid.
Jib stabbed the air with his index finger.
Because there's a good one on your cheek.
Bush screamed.
After George finished playing himself,
George stood up, scowling in the gloom, and held out his hand.
Oh, man. This town turned my head around. Forgot our mission, what was important.
Okay, since I've just come clean, maybe you should too. Explain why this mission has become so important to you.
I appreciate that a lot. And,
But he told me anyway, in words of two syllables or less, just like I'd asked.
I'm gonna do what it takes from here on out to get the job done. Observed George calmly.
Isn't that just history trying to repeat itself?
George looked angry, but after a moment shook his head.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that wiggly pig now knocked up over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
George sneered.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys.
George sat down with a grunt.
The water is fine.
I'd expect a nation to respect the nation's history if you don't. That kind of ignorance is dangerous.
Forget our nation's history. What about our nation right now?
George's voice was vicious with humiliation.
In my state of the union, or speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
And he forgot what he'd been driving at. Jib spoke softly to George.
Look, whatever's happened in the past is the past, but ultimately you can't turn your back on a friend, right?
He took a step towards dumb George, who turned and faced him.
The fact of the matter is...
George sniveled. He spread his arms wide.
My little brother needs me.
Sure.
Please.
Jib looked in astonishment at George.
You got that right.
Fall over and give my baby brother a hug.
No.
You've got to. Trembling.
The idiot George insisted.
His eyes told me we were in trouble. Every goddamn extremity was in a half-up position. Probably wet, too.
I don't know why you say that.
I looked at him quizzically. Yeah. Right.
Brother Jib paused for a moment and they both pushed their anger away.
I picked him up and he wound his arms around my neck, clinging tightly.
All right, mate, tank.
Things may get stuck, best way to put it.
What did you expect?
We must, I suppose, have looked odd, clinging close, all dripping.
A wonderful opportunity to eliminate barriers through intersexual conduct.
What the f***?
I will not even honor that with a response.
His voice faded away.
Screw him.
President, dumbass, shrugged as if to say he didn't know. And so, my friends, it occurred to me that it was time to get personal. Subtlety, friends, was about to be out of the question.
Holding his nose,
young Jay Bush said, hell.
Hell.
Under his breath. No, let me make sure you understand where we're headed.
I took him by the lapels of my left hand, squeezed tightly, lifted his feet off the ground.
Did I give you a big kiss on the lips? Tongue, no tongue, your choice.
It was for the ultimate good of the Bush crime family.
Well, if you insist, I won't try to stop you.
You old guy. How's that golf game?
Yuck. For a moment, they had a fleeting picture of the strange glamour that had once invested the Bushes.
Is this good for you, too? I asked as we scrunched together.
People know we're close.
For a moment, nothing more was said.
We disengaged.
Jib suddenly smiled bitterly at his brother.
So you're still alive, half demon?
Yes, I'm alive.
George sneered in an attempted bravery.
Yes, you are.
Because I am a tough man, but a fair man.
You see, you seem to think that somehow you go down and
his words came out in a shout.
Now, it's not going to be perfect, but I've recovered.
I gave him a what the f*** look.
How did you do that?
He tossed me the bird.
Woke up and there it was. It's like a miracle.
Dumb George felt his face, which was striped with scars across the neck where Brother Jeb Bush had torn him. I'm all rough. Am I bleeding?
Uh-oh.
Jib noticed blood on his own hands and grimaced distastefully, looked for something on which to clean them, then wiped them on his shorts and laughed.
I didn't do it.
Jib shook his head. Dumbly, George gazed at the drops of vivid blood. Jib stood up, holding out his bloody hands, dribbling. Look.
Just come from work in a slaughterhouse.
And,
I'm a kill for. I'm surprised I can still look a snake in the eye, but then again...
I wrapped him around the shoulders in as tight a bear hug as I could muster.
Ow, what else good is there, right?
Don't stare at me like that.
Impatiently, George fingered his gummy, necrotic throat.
Look at my neck. A minor disability, just like your jaw. See the burns? See?
That's very likely a sex thing.
Yes,
He glared at his brother.
Through clenched teeth, George said,
I'm going to kill him.
Who?
That f***ing son of a bitch who f***ing impaled my f***ing head,
George said angrily.
He? Who he?
It's an interesting question. You ask, and,
Don't you understand?
George nodded dumbly.
No, let me make sure you understand where we're headed.
I can see his head swiveling.
We must face different enemies and face them together.
How the f***?
Yes, I
He looked angrily over at me, as if to say, I'm talking, you twit.
Look, in other words, Al-Qaeda did it.
What?
What was his point?
The reason why is Al-Qaeda still exists, Al-Qaeda hates us, Al-Qaeda did it.
Uh-huh. And the thing suddenly became very, very clear.
This is ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, he got it.
I think it is, and it's sad.
Except I could see that he didn't quite get it.
Something flittered there in front of George's mind. Laden.
Dropping his voice, George said,
you see this enemy if you know where to look.
George glanced round quickly, then leaned close.
Where's Osama bin Laden?
Wouldn't have a clue. I saw him here after the hurricane, but he took off.
Roden leaned forward and whispered conspiratorially.
He's not ultra bright at the best of times.
What?
Roden rolled his eyes.
As I say, I think that Osama bin Laden was involved with the attack.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fact.
I never changed my expression. I let him babble on.
He'd done exploiting me, so he plots a massacre with his pack of sissies and kicks me out for good. That's what happened.
Yeah, I'd murder him, swear to God, if I could.
He insisted that he needed my help.
Of course, we're on the hunt after Osama bin Laden.
Whatever you say, pal.
It's not a matter of intelligence. No, this is a matter of using every asset at our disposal to get Osama bin Laden.
Oh, did he know that for a fact? The president's cheeks colored. I couldn't let that pass unchallenged. You never could get the facts straight, could you, Elwood?
Gosh, I don't think I ever said this.
Do I? Don't what me, you know what?
Jib shook his head.
You know, I said, listen.
I didn't.
Gosh, okay.
What?
I did that. I bopped brother in the head.
Yeah.
The expression of pain and concentration returned to George's face.
No, what?
From the look on Dog's ugly face, I just surprised him.
But it doesn't happen. See, you seem to think... Yo,
George worked it out.
At first, he looked puzzled.
George Bush licked his lips and turned his head at an angle so that his gaze avoided Jeb's eye.
I totally reject that thought.
I watched as his face took on a wild-eyed expression that was indescribably frightening.
I reject that.
He was growling with fury.
Didn't mean nothing by it, George.
The hell you say!
Dumb George's voice lifted into the whine of virtuous recrimination. That was a dirty trick.
George's eyes were wide.
That was murder.
You know, George, murder. Because you're scum who had no respect for anyone else.
That is absolutely wrong.
This was too bitter for George, who forgot his timidity and he began to cry out shrilly.
I got this close to being strung up and consumed in a fire and sunstroke and soggy.
You got that right. I saluted him with my middle finger.
George resumed, approaching things sideways.
Turned into a frog.
Wasn't turned into a frog.
We thought you were a toad.
Now, it's not going to be perfect, but the point is...
His eyes narrowed.
It trying to kill me for 2 years.
That kind of pissed me off. What was his point?
You kill me and my life, so I'm dead and buried in the ground and little tiny bugs feasting on my ass.
Yuck. Yes, the creepy crawlies had nibbled on his private parts. Roden pointed at the bogus patriot and made a joke.
Foreign objects!
You have to squash the possum's nuts.
George was completely unable to speak. He dry heaved a couple more times, then he looked up. His face was contorted.
George looked back at Jib, seeing him infuriatingly for the first time.
I feel wretched. Oh, my God.
George burst into noisy tears and was slapped by his brother Jib as he choked on him.
The pink turd. What was this? Scumbag!
The humiliating tears were running from the corner of each eye.
A globule of spittle was caught in the corner of his mouth, giving him a slightly demented appearance.
Awful sorry I betrayed you, fellas.
George lowered his eyes in a pantomime of shame.
It was a moment of weakness.
Sorry, but I'm just a bounty hunter.
There's no need to continue this obstinacy.
But it's too late.
It's not in your interest to do so.
He paused for a moment and they both pushed their anger away again. Then he went on with his safe, changed subject.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
I gotta kick your ass, freak!
That's not what I'm interested in.
Don't kick it. Real hard.
Jesus, you're thick.
George glowered.
I don't know why you say that.
You're just like the old man. Stupid.
The supreme sting, the casual, bitter word.
I think the intelligence I get is darn good intelligence.
Language isn't his forte. But great timing is.
You have an annoying habit of turning up where you're not welcome,
said Jib, still caressing his spear.
I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
I knew in my private mind that the decider had been drunk.
I don't need you to fight my f***ing battle for me.
George looked at me smugly. He thought he'd won.
Mm-hmm.
He thought the game was done. Maybe it was.
Hmm.
For him.
But
my hunting season was far from over.
And
I looked at George. I brought George nose to nose with me and stage whispered. I told you I'd hunt you down.
I
said your head was going to look great on my wall. And now, I watched his eyes widen. It's time for you to die, dumbass.
You really think so?
I let him loose.
Just trying to spread around the joy.
George stared at me goggle-eyed, his mouth moving.
I made you. Wasn't for me, you'd be nothing.
Yeah, maybe.
Jib tapped his teeth with a dirty point of his spear.
I don't really give a damn what happens to the world. It's all the same to me. I just came here to pay back the favor I owe you.
When I got near enough, I pounced. My left hand came up and caught his mouth to choke off any scream. He tried to twist away from me, but I was having none of that.
George began to choke and cough.
I gut-punched him to take his breath away, then moved around in back of him. Swiveling my body and his so that the crook of my right arm trapped his neck just above the Adam's apple.
You should stick a pig. They always talk about sticking a pig.
That's a remarkable expression.
I was choosing a place, said Jib. I was just waiting for a moment to decide where to stab him.
And
George flinched. He hates me. I don't know why, said George in an appalled whisper.
I looked at him and said,
why do you hate me? Jib stirred uneasily, as though something indecent had been said. The silence lengthened. They looked at each other, baffled in hate. From a distance, he heard Jib's whisper. Don't you understand? Jib held out his hand and twisted the fingers into a fist. Because of the rock man. Piggy considered this solemnly.
Oh, who gives a frog's fat ass?
He snarled at his own brother. At last, Jib cleared his throat and whispered something.
Watch your back.
The first notice he took of me is when I looped my left arm around his neck, caught his nose and mouth, and stuck the blade, which is a full quarter of an inch thick and 6 5/8 inches long, up into his kidney area. That sure got his attention.
Strange. You almost can't feel it. No, don't move. The knife is still in you. The blade right between the kidney and the spleen. Just a twist.
It feels almost cold.
You tell me your target, and I slide the knife out. You might live. Or...
I think you may have got the kidney. I don't want to die alone.
He sucked there.
Don't go.
I don't think I hit your kidney.
No, you totally did. Please... hold me.
Well, look, I'm pretty sure I missed the kidney. I mean, you could bleed to death in like 4 hours, but...
I see a tunnel. I'm scared. Could you
Could you stroke my...
You're not gonna...
Then can you sing to me? Could you sing a technotronic song? Maybe pump up the jam?
I don't know.
What about Move This? You know that one?
Baby, let me...
Stab your back, 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 stab your back.
He left the knife where it was, in his back. He had more important things to think about.
Now, three cases of Coors Light might help me take the nasty taste of George's bullshit away. Roden hooked the thumb in George's direction.
Shouldn't we have said something about the knife in his back?
He said.
Oh, I'm sure someone will mention it to him.
George, looking down into the drops of vivid blood, forgot his timidity and he began to cry out shrilly,
"You backstabber! And I let you spoon me!"
But he did exactly what I wanted him to do.
Please, please.
He rolled away from me.
It requires an unsticker.
That allowed me to get some leverage on him and work myself into where I could pull the knife out of his back.
And to help unstick things that may get stuck.
Ah.
Nailed it.
And get it nestled in the shoulder area. We lay there thrashing for a few seconds.
Death is better than living on this earth with the unbelievers among us.
You worthless pencil sack of shit.
I would never allow myself to be wounded by a half-breed like you.
Look at all the pretty colors.
Don't die on me yet, half-demon. You're spoiling all my fun. I've made special arrangements for your death.
Your threats ain't fooling no one. Your father was afraid of mine, and you're afraid of me. Come out and fight me.
You can talk like a man, but can you fight like one?
Then they were facing each other again, panting and furious, but unnerved by each other's ferocity.
Yo, scumbag!
George looked round in panic. He was muttering,
"Kill. Just kill. Kill innocent people. Kill. Bianca.
Jib. Charge.
Now it's my turn to thank you.
Are you Bianca? Looking for Bianca.
Well, I guess you were right when we talked in the heat. There's no room for the weak. No room for the weak.
Down into the fray, already moving so fast that his boosted movements were little more than a blur. He was going to have his revenge now if it killed him.
That's an understatement.
I expect violence.
George, knowing this was the crisis, charged too.
Bring him on.
They met with a jolt and bunched apart.
Nobody can threaten me.
George made a rush and stabbed at Jib's chest with his spear. Jib sensed the position of the weapon from the glimpse he caught of George's arm and put the thrust aside with his own butt. By common consent, they were using the spears as sabers now, no longer daring the lethal point.
Kill, kill, kill.
And damned be him that first cries, hold enough.
Iron Reaver Soul Stealer!
He struck in a humming circle behind him, and George only just parried the blow. The blow struck George's spear and slid down to fall agonizingly on his fingers.
Good. The fang of destruction.
What's that? I don't know what you're going on about. Idiot!
Such a pity, using that weapon to protect a mere human. I would use the sword for a more noble cause. Now hand it over to me!
I don't think so! How the hell did he block my Tensaiga? I have to finish him off quickly or Kagome won't make it. Iron Reaver! It's getting blurry.
The classic male-male fight.
The fight scene which follows takes the two warriors off stage.
Oh. Come on, kill him, violence.
And we do not know the outcome of the battle until Mac
Bush.
Yahoo! Oh, is that my sword? Sorry.
Me too.
By his skillful use of violence, both on and off the stage.
Let me do some blood shot. Kill him. Blood.
Re-enters.
And the pulse is still ticking!
With the head of his idiot brother.
What?
Oh, what?
No.
Power of the staff of two heads!
Man, I never liked Shakespeare until now.
What the hell?
Go to commercial.
Party's over. This program has been permanently interrupted.
What's this, a f***ing convention?
Do you know what Susie did? I can't believe she would do that.
Again?
Oh, no, not again.
And again, and again, and again.
This girl is obviously acutely disturbed.
Maybe she doesn't care anymore.
A whore. She's a whore.
Blues, what the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm doing the show.
You just cut George's head off again!
Yep, I'm a little devil, aren't I?
You can't be doing that every show! Haven't you heard any of these damn messages from WREK?
Oh, hey, look, the answering machine's all full.
Yeah!
Sponsors are unhappy about the dead horse. Bad publicity, not what they pay for.
What sponsors? We're not commercial radio!
That's beside the point. You have spun your wheels through 2 years of this obsessive bush bashing, which is clearly some kind of record, even for you.
Hey, gotta admit.
But someone's gotta put an end to this pointless navel-gazing.
Oh, but evil Susie.
Oh,
I still have to drag his ass through a few more circles of hell before his karmic journey is done.
Jeez, Blues. Oh, you need to lay off the damn tea. Karma? Give me a f***ing break. Just get the funhouse back on track. Or I'm going to do more all Aquarius shows, okay?
No. You don't have to do anything crazy like that, but at least let me put him back in the electrified dog collar for a while, okay?
Okay, whatever. But ixnay on the decapitation day, okay?
Okay.
Bimbo's on it.
The things I do for Bob.
All right, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse resumes in 3, 2, 1.
And then I heard three wonderful words.
George's shock collar.
Did you tell him about Osama?
What? Oh, no. We started drinking.
Nasty, Duckfoot, Gator, and Rodent handled the interrogation with the help of a 12-volt battery and a bucket of salt water.
And there was the initial shock.
Hey, don't you be shocked, friends. Just because he was...